Well, good morning, everyone. The Government Oversight and Accountability Committee will come to order, and we'll start with a roll call. Tamara, please call the roll, please.
Chair Hooper.
Here.
Vice Chair Rader.
Here.
Senator Albritton.
Here.
Senator Bean. Senator Torres.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Tamara. A reminder, if your devices make noise, please put them on silence, if you would be so kind. Also, a reminder, anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. Before we start our agenda, there is a new member of our team, and I would like to take a moment to introduce the new staff attorney for government oversight, Miss Virginia Ponder. Good morning, and wave to all the nice people out there. And so the staff director says if there's issues, always go to the attorney first. And no, he didn't say that, but we will do that. We have two bills before us today. They are Senate proposed bills that deal with two different issues. I'm going to present the bills, so I'm going to turn the chair over to our vice chairman, Senator Rader. You're in charge, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you sure you want to do that?
I think so.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's take up tab one, Senate Proposed Bill 7016 by Governmental Oversight and Accountability relating to state-administered retirement systems. Senator Hooper, you are recognized to explain the proposed bill.
Thank you, Chairman. That sounds nice. Senators, this is a bill required annually that determines the rates that employers must pay into the Florida retirement system. And that begins on July 1st, 2019. It also updates the required employer retirement contribution rates for each membership class to address the unfunded actuarial liabilities. The bill provides finding that it is an important state interest is fulfilled, and it's also important to note that the 3% employee contribution rate is not changed by this bill. The contribution rate is a blended contribution rate set by statute, which is the same percentage for both the pension plan and the investment plan. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hooper. There are no amendments. Are there any questions on the proposed bill? No questions. Do we have any appearance cards? No appearance cards. Is there any debate on the proposed bill? Appears no debate. Senator Hooper, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Well, I'll waive close after all that lengthy debate.
Senator Hooper moves that SPB 7016 be submitted as a committee bill. Are there any objections? Seeing no objection, Tamara, please call the roll on SPB 7016.
Senator Albritton?
Yes.
Senator Bean? Senator Torres?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Chair Rader?
Yes. By your vote, SPB 7016 is favorably reported as a committee bill. Let's look at tab two now. Tab two, SPB 7014 by this committee, the Governmental Oversight and Accountability, relating to government accountability. Senator Hooper, you are recognized to explain the proposed bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SPB 7014 is a lengthy bill that covers a wide variety of recommendations. The proposed bill is a compilation of recommendations made by the Auditor General's Office to enhance government accountability. Specifically, the bill requires governmental entities to establish and maintain internal controls designed to prevent and detect fraud, waste, and abuse. It requires counties, municipalities, special districts, water management districts to maintain certain budget documents on their website for a specified time frame. It authorizes the governor or commissioner of education or their designee to notify the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee of an entity's failure to comply with certain auditing and financial reporting requirements. Upon that notification, the Joint Committee may decide whether the entity is subject to further state action. It clarifies that the Auditor General has the authority to audit Tourist Development Councils and County Tourism Promotion Agencies. It requires the Florida Clerks of Court Operations Corporation notice and copy of corrective plans to be submitted no later than 45 days after the end of the preceding quarterly period. It requires monthly financial statements of water management districts to be in the form and manner prescribed by the Department of Financial Services for transparency and government spending. It allows the Department of Financial Services to request additional information when preparing its annual verified report and requires that information to be provided within 45 days of the request. It revises the membership for an audit committee for a county, municipality, special district, district school board, charter school, or charter technical career center. It requires the Florida Virtual School to have an annual financial audit. It requires the Florida College System and Florida State University System to comply with 110.1127 Florida statutes for employee background screening. This allows for universities and colleges to access federal information in completing a complete background screening on certain employees. And finally, it provides that it's a first-degree misdemeanor if a person willfully fails or refuses to provide access to an employee, officer, or an agent of the entity under audit by the Auditor General. That, Mr. Chairman, is the synopsis of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hooper. I believe you are recognized to explain Amendment Barcode 742724.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, the amendment does this. It deletes lines 609 through 623 and replaces them with the amendment. And the reason for that is we found out that the 2018 legislature passed an accountability bill that spoke to school districts receiving annual federal, state, local funds in excess of $500 million shall employ an internal auditor. We put that in our proposed bill. That language was already passed and was scheduled to be implemented July 1, 2019. So we have put the revised language passed by the previous legislature in as the amendment. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions on the amendment? Do we have any appearance cards on the amendment?
Not on the amendment.
Any debate on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Seeing no objection, show the amendment adopted. We are now back on the proposed bill. Are there any questions to the chairman on the proposed bill? Are there any appearance for? Oh, we have a question. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question on the Auditor General's overall, when we talk about tourism in our counties, like I represent two counties, would that affect the tourism package that these, that they, would that change the scope? Would that require them to, whatever they spend money on, this would affect the auditing, would affect how much money they get?
Go ahead and talk between the two of you.
Senator Torres, the Auditor General is with us. If there's a specific question about that sounds like it may be a question that she may be in a position to answer.
Good.
Unless she
let's get to her during her time, but okay. we can
okay.
Put that on
hold
for about a minute.
That was it.
Any more questions on the proposed bill to the chairman? Are there any appearance forms? This is probably the best time for you to come up now to answer that question. But we're going to need you to fill out an appearance card as well afterwards.
I'm sure.
It is not. There should be a button at the bottom.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. Thank you. I'm Cheryl Norman. I'm the Auditor General for the state of Florida. Senator Torres, as to your question, all this does is explicitly give us the authority in law to audit the tourism agencies. We already have that authority. It's just explicit. And no, it doesn't affect the funding or anything like that. All it does is speak to basically clarifying an authority we already have. So.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add?
Not at this time.
Well, thanks.
Happy to answer any other questions.
Thanks for answering the Senator's question. We also have another appearance card filled out by Justin Thames of FICPA, the accountants.
Good morning, committee members. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you all on this bill today. Justin Thames with the Florida Institute of CPAs. As most of you know, we represent about 18,000 CPAs across the state. However, today, particularly, we have a group of a committee that particularly works in the state and local government practice area. And this bill has a lot in it, so I'm only here to talk about three things. We do have a couple concerns or things that we'd like to bring to the forefront to maybe discuss as a dialogue as this bill continues to move on. And actually, first, I'm going to start out with posing a question. There's some language that reduces on line 172 the government auditing standards as adopted by the Board of Accountancy. I think this is a new change this year. That's something we'd like to continue to discuss. We think there might be some value in leaving that language in the bill. So I won't get into too much detail as I go along. Also, starting on line 532, you all have mentioned previously about the audit committee. And the makeup of the audit committee. So essentially one of the primary function of the audit committee is more of an auditor selection committee where you have a group from the governing board or designees that come together to go through the process of selecting an auditor as it's outlaid under the Auditor General rules and the guidance and in statute. So sometimes that can be a little confusing when you relate it to an audit committee because under the standards there's a lot more that an audit committee could do or would do in certain instances. That's just something that we want to raise to the forefront. Might be confusing, something to look at. And then on line 531, we talk a little bit more about the audit committee, and specifically for that, when you look at changing from a non-charter county to for the whole county, we also have to make sure that we take into account the constitutional officers, make sure that there's not any risk that, they may be selecting their own auditor outside of having the audit committee do that. And then one of the most important things that I wanted to mention today, when you get into the makeup of the audit committee, it's generally kind of three is the bare minimum. That's what the some of the guidance that's out there would tell you. But then when we get into the exemption of making sure that the CFO and other staff are not able to serve on the committee, that's one thing that our committee is concerned about because what they find in a lot of areas, especially in smaller communities, smaller counties, municipalities, is that it's difficult to get a good mix of representation on some of those auditor selection committees. That have the financial background or the understanding of governmental reporting to serve on that. And sometimes the only people with the knowledge of the relationship between an auditor and an auditee is the CFO or the financial staff. That's not to say that they would have a voting right on that committee, but having the ability to participate in the discussion on the back and forth of, are they getting what they need from the auditor in a timely manner? Have they worked with the auditor that they are seeing in front of them on an RFP before? Is there any feedback that they would like to share? Those are some of the type of conversations that, depending on who the audit committee is at the time that they're going to go back out and select a new auditor is, it could be very important for them to have that information. So as we talked in previous years when some similar language has come up, we've asked that this language, although it doesn't prohibit it, be very specific and clarified that it doesn't prohibit the staff from at least participating in the conversation whenever that process goes along. I think that's the main thing that we're interested in, because, like I said before, some of these small districts, you think of special districts, community development districts, some small rural counties, they're already in fiscal constraints as it is, and you may not have the ability to have a committee that's made up with people with that background. Any questions?
Well, thank you for your time then.
All right, thank you.
Go. Yes.
Mr. Chairman and Senators, I had an opportunity to meet with Mr. Thames prior to the meeting, actually yesterday, and he articulated the same concerns, specifically the last part we talked about of the smaller entities. And in order not to hold up the bill, my commitment to him is that it seems like I'll be presenting the bill should it pass today, that I committed that with their input, I would draft an amendment to address that specific part of his concerns and would present that at the next stop, if that's acceptable to the members of the committee.
I think that sounds very reasonable. We've done that a lot in the past, and I think you have your commitment, and I think Mr. Thames is willing to work with you on that. I think we should move forward. Absolutely. Are there any more appearance forms? That's it. Is there any debate on the proposed bill? Senator moves that SPB 7014 be submitted as a committee bill. Any objections? Seeing no objections, Tamara, please call the roll on SPB 7014.
Senator Albritton?
Yes.
Senator Bean?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Chair Rader?
Yes. By your vote, SPB 7014 is favorably reported as a committee bill. I hate to turn the gavel back over to the Senator Hooper, but I guess I must.
That was my concern all along. Will I ever get it back? Thank you. Senator Rader, you did a great job. I appreciate you helping out. Senators, is there any other or guests? Is there any other business to come before the
Mr.
committee?
Chairman.
Senator Bean, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I had guests, and I was, as you probably saw me, come in a few minutes late, 10:06 to be exact, and you had already completed a bill under 6 minutes with the roll call, and I regret I missed it, but I do ask that the record reflect that I be shown in voting in favor of 7016, and congrats on making it so fast.
Senator Bean moves to be noticed as a affirmative yes on SPB 7016. Is there objection? Show that motion adopted.
Mr. Chair, I just have one comment on that. I want to say we have a very efficient committee here. And, you know, the committee members, there's only five of us, but, man, we get rolling, we get moving. So I thank you for your leadership on making it an efficient committee.
Nope, thank you. It's the entire team that does that. And I would say before we adjourn that some of you may be getting letters or correspondence with other senators about agendaing bills that we may not have in our possession. They have been referenced. A lot of bills are coming out every day. I think bill drafting is putting out 200 bills a week. They do get referenced, but we do not have most of those bills in this committee's possession. Trust me, when they are in the staff director's possession, he and I get together and we go over the list. So if you members, senators, get a letter, just know that we're not ignoring those bills. We just do not have them. So they'll get here. Anything else to come before the committee? Then Vice Chairman Rader moves we adjourn without objection. Show that motion adopted.
Good job, man.